Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Javari, and Dan. It's the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast. Or Kings, depending on your vernacular. Speaking of vernacular, I'm about to go in on Dan Oofball Orlowski and Lewis Ridiculous for their trash-ass takes during a Thursday night football game. My man Lewis Riddick, who was once a Matt Nagy supporter, he still is a Matt Nagy supporter. He's butt hurt that his boy got fired, got shit canned. So nowadays, he takes a shot at the Bears every chance he gets, right? So he was hyping up the Seattle Seahawks stand. They're building something special. Something fucking special ed. That team is trash. Trash, garbage, basura for garbage. My Mexican fellows out there.
Garbage.
Garbage. Italiano. They're trash. These fools got shut out, and their fifth string finally scored a touchdown on the Bears, like, seven stringers, because the Bears' second stringers were beating the Seattle Seahawks' first stringers. It's a cruel summer, y'all.
This is true. Summer.
Cruel
summer. This is very true.
Very cruel summer.
So, I know I'm feeling, and this is a preseason game. We know that, you know, teams aren't game planning this vanilla, but the way the Bears playing, we told y'all that this is how they were going to play.
Tried to
win. Now it's coming to fruition. So, I'm feeling nice, especially with those two clowns getting served up on national TV. How y'all feeling, brothers?
I'm feeling hella good, man. I think Lewis Ridickhead. Again, Lewis Ridickhead. I'm so sick of this dude, man. Because it's like everything he said. Look, folks, what y'all need to realize right now, right, is that everything that he says, everything that he bases, whatever he want to base it on, whoever he says is hot ain't shit. Flat out. Never will be, okay? He thought Mitch Trubisky was it. You know, he termed the coin Maserati Mitch. Maserati was more like a fucking Pinto. Up and down the damn field. Stalling out. Not starting up. I don't want that kind of Maserati. That Maserati had a Ford Escort. 1984 Escort engine in it. I don't want that Maserati, right? So anybody he gets behind don't turn out to be jack shit, right? Again, Mitch Trubisky, ain't shit. Matt Nagy, ain't shit. Then on top of that, he coined and dubbed Trey Lance. He ain't gonna be shit, not this season. And then the Seattle Seahawks, ain't about shit. Okay, they went on national TV and got their fucking teeth kicked in and drubbed. I mean, they got flipped over and done dry. Okay, and nobody wants to talk about that, you know. And then Lewis Riddick had every excuse on the planet for why they sucked, right? You know, oh well, the Chicago Bears did good, but. You know, it's more to the story. What more to the story we need to see? Because if you coined and dubbed the Chicago Bears as the worst team in the NFL, this was your dubbing, okay? You dubbed our Chicago Bears the worst team in the NFL. Then what the fuck are the Seattle Seahawks? What are they? Because if we're the worst team in the NFL, then what the hell are they? Hell? I mean, in all honesty, what are they? And then again, he tried. He acted like a scorned lover yesterday on TV, like a scorned ex-lover who was left for the pretty girl. You know, oh well, he wasn't all that anyway. I'm happy for him. Yeah, I'm happy for him. But I mean, they're gonna break up in 3 weeks anyway. Just hating for no reason, like you throwing backhanded slaps. With the Chicago Bears, oh, yeah, this is a good team, but their offensive line is atrocious, and they still haven't signed Roquan Smith. And not only have they not signed Roquan Smith, they're having trouble with Tevin Jenkins. I don't know what they're going to do with him. And then on top of that, you know, you also have the situation here that we got. You don't know if Justin Fields is the guy. Really, dude? Really, dude?
Mm-hmm.
That's one of them. I wish I could play that Chief Keef Sosa intro when he'd be like, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Anybody say something else about the Chicago Bears, I'm beating their fucking ass. Y'all know they roll with Lamrod in them. Y'all know they got caught with the ratchet. That. On everything.
Exactly, bro.
Yeah, man. You know. This is a situation for me where I get tired of not only the local but the national media. And it's not a matter of, you know, Bears fans being upset because, you know, they're saying that they're gonna suck, right? Bears fans are in their feelings because they're emotional because, you know, people saying that they're gonna suck or they're one of the worst teams in the league or the worst team in the league. No, it ain't about that at all. What it's about is a narrative that's being pushed. The narrative that's being pushed is the blame game. You know, I tweeted about it earlier today. I got into a conversation with another dude earlier today that we'll talk about as well. But, you know, they're talking about, you know, those are the things that they're saying. Now, when they say those things, I say that people are feeding into it. Bears fans included, they're feeding into it. People from a distance, they're feeding into it. I got a friend who is a Giants fan. I told DeVore this earlier, and he sent me a list of the wide receivers and their, you know, catches in the pros, in the NFL, right? And he said, your GM should be fired for putting this on the field, for assembling this wide receiver room. Not understanding what we had last year, not understanding truly what Bears fans have been paying attention to for the last 3 or 4 years. So when people feed into that narrative and that narrative is put out there by the local and the national media and the beat writers, whoever is involved in it, I'm taking shots back at them because you got to understand and you got to tell the truth about the whole situation. And that's what I'm on. You know what I'm saying? You got to be honest about this. You know, from top to bottom, that wide receiver room is much better. There was attention paid, you know, to the offensive line. We made some signings. Were they the sexy names? No, they weren't. But it's improved. That part of the field is improved. He drafted linemen. He drafted a wide receiver. You know, Colin Cowherd went on television today and pointed out his six reasons or six things that the Bears have done wrong.
Hold on, Dad. What you say his name was again? What's
Colin,
his name?
Colin Cowherd, I think it was.
Cowherd.
Yeah, something like that.
Who?
Something like that. Cowherd.
Who?
Yeah. That character, right? He gets on television on his show and he decides, instead of pointing out, hey, Velus Jones had a 48-yard run back. He's a rookie, one of the newly drafted and acquired players for Chicago, right? He went on television and said, you know what? The Bears didn't draft a wide receiver. They drafted two defensive guys, though that was the second bad thing. Not drafting a wide receiver was one. Drafting two defensive guys in the second round, that was another bad thing. He also said that Matt Nagy being fired was a mistake, was a problem. That they were doing Justin Fields wrong by firing Matt Nagy.
Crack.
Yeah, he's
So that cocaine was in there. So when did that crack?
When did you pick up the pipe, right?
When did you pick up that crack pipe?
When did
pipe?
That crack take over?
Colin Cowherd, the crackhead.
I mean, come on, man. You know, and that's the thing. You know, this is lazy journalism, in my opinion. You know what I mean? This is a situation where you regurgitate something that you heard somebody else say. You know, polls didn't help them. Polls didn't do this. He didn't do, you know, so now we're blaming, you know, he even blamed polls and the Bears regime right now for failing Justin Fields because they drafted Tevin Jenkins, who had a back injury. Now, polls had nothing to do with that, right?
At all.
Nothing to do with that.
Nothing. He wasn't even there.
This is the narrative that people put out. So when I take exception to it, hey, I ain't taking exception to them saying the Bears may suck, because indeed, maybe they do. Maybe they go out here and bomb out. Maybe they do suck. We'll deal with that when it happens, right? But at the same time, I'm not going to sit back after I'm looking at what they're doing, and I can see the trajectory, and what they're doing is moving them forward. They're changing the locker room. They're changing the culture. And they're trying to change this organization from a losing franchise, which is what we are. Let's be real about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to change them into perennial winners, somebody that can sustain success. You do that by building in the draft. That's what he's doing. You do that by not spending frivolously in free agency. He did not do that. You know what I'm saying? Those are the things that you do. So at the end of the day, I believe in what he's doing. And I'm going to ride with him, and I'm not going to let somebody else or these national and local media guys, pundits, tear down and shoot shots at the new regime before his first game, before his first actual game. We're in the second game of the preseason. Come on, man. Y'all got to do better than that. And Bears fans and fans around the NFL alike, y'all got to do better, and y'all got to demand more out of these media guys, too, to be honest with you. Stop clicking their crap.
Yeah. You're 100% correct, Dan. Pass the collection plate. And this is the whole thing that I do when I'm on their neck on Twitter. And I know they see it. Some people respond, some people don't, because I'm pointing out, I'm going to tear your ass up if you're a media man, you're putting BS out there. I'm going to tear you up.
Every time you're going to do
every
it.
Every time I'm going to tear you up.
Don't let me do it to you because I overdo it.
Like, the thing is, and you're correct, Dan. Like, the whole point, like, my whole argument this offseason hasn't been that the Bears are contenders. My whole argument is that I don't think the Bears are trash and they're sabotaging this and trying to tank and build it. I knew exactly what direction this team was going. For before you guys knew this, we talked about this when we had Ryan Pace. I want sustained success. The Bears have been a team. They have a good team every 7 years, and they do the same thing. They finally get a new GM. The new GM makes a couple of draft picks. He trades up in a draft. He trades away some draft capital for a good player. Then he spends a bunch of money in free agency. And then you go 10-6. And then you get bounced in the playoffs. And then eventually, you don't have any draft picks. Those players you traded for and paid, they're old now. So now they're expensive, and so you have to tear the roster down. It's the same cycle, bro. When you trade away your draft picks, you are not replenishing your roster with young talent, okay? When you trade away those picks, they're gone. You got a 28-year-old guy that you traded for. In 3 years, he's 31. Now, if you'd have kept that pick, you would have drafted a 22-year-old. Now that guy's 25, and you still have more picks. And then you pay all these guys all this money. Like, we signed Allen Robinson, great, good player, but we signed him because we failed drafting Kevin White. If you select Kevin White and make the right selection at that pick, you don't even sign this dude, exactly. Right? And so if you draft correctly and you go out, like, free agency is a hit and miss thing anyway, so it doesn't make sense to spend a bunch of money. So you get guys like...
Or you go sign a 34-year-old Jared Allen that's...
Yeah, Jared Allen, Jimmy Graham, you know...
Bunch of overhill motherfuckers.
Watch yeah. Up. You give these motherfuckers $10 million a year, and then you wonder why you bad in the year. They're not here for the long haul.
Exactly.
You have to get 20-something-year-old guys, you have to just keep pumping them in. The only guy that can be old on your team nowadays is a quarterback. That's it. Everybody else need to be below 30.
Yeah. You got to keep a transfusion of youth. You got to pump new blood and youth into your squad every single year. That's why the draft is so important.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the draft is so paramount and so important.
Like, we looking at our draft picks, right? They like Colin Cowherd, who the master of mid. He's mid at everything. He's mid at basketball analysis, mid at football. He's just like, you know, you need to pick something just be good at it.
He's
like
mid at radio as fuck.
You need to go focus on horse racing or something like that. You know what I mean?
Backgammon.
Like, yeah. Go to ESPN 8 the Ocho. You know what I mean? And go cover dodgeball.
See 8 the Ocho where walls is falling on motherfuckers and shit. Remember that? That motherfucker was sitting there reporting and motherfucker was the wall fell on him and shit. My man sitting there, they're like, Tequilo.
Cover some obscure sports like niggas
slapping each other. They got a tag championship. When they got a tag, they slap championship.
Right, cornhole and shit. Cornhole.
The hot dog eating contest.
Go report on that. Cornhole and backgammon and shit.
You don't know what the hell he be talking about. Bro, like, look at the best draft picks. We said this over. We started off with 5 picks. He turned 5 to 11. And now you start looking at the draft picks. What best draft pick? Like, I'm not even going to say how great they are because we don't know in 3-4 years from now how these guys are going to be. Exactly. But who in that class have been bad that you like, man, that dude don't deserve to be drafted?
Mm. Like, name one. Name one.
It's like Brisker might be a damn pro bowler. Right. Kyler Gordon looked good. Bayless Jones looked good. Dominique Robinson looked good.
Yep.
Braxton Jones won the starting tackle. Ebner looks good.
Yep.
Even Carter is a solid rotational interior guard. Even him, he might not start, but he's at least depth.
even our 7th round draft pick, Elijah Hicks, recovered a fumble in the end zone.
He's going to be a special teamer. Look at the punter, Trent Gill.
Yeah. Good ass punter.
This is why you pick 11 players in the draft, bro. You only half of them may work out.
Exactly.
But shit, I'll take 5. Give me five players a draft, bro. And your team will be good for a decade. Give me 5-6 players a draft.
Dominic Robinson is going to be a freak of nature.
Yes.
He's gonna be a force.
He's balling, bro.
He's gonna be a force.
He looks so long, bro.
Man, and ripped the hell up. Like, he reminds me of Javon Curse, how he's built. Mm.
The freak.
Yeah, he reminds me of Javon Curse, how he's built. Like, damn. It's a big, long, he just long and swole.
Yeah, he's like 6'7", ain't he?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
He won the genetic lottery.
For real.
He won the genetic lottery, bro. Like, when you look big on the football field, that's how you know you big.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those are little dudes out there.
Hell no. Right. Them some big boys, man.
Right.
So when you look big. So I like the direction the Bears are heading, man. I know Nez got that. He's super, super optimistic with the prediction.
Yeah, 10 to 11 wins.
10 to 11 games.
I stand on that. That's solid. I stand on
that. That's a weak-ass team on our schedule, too.
And the schedule's weak as fuck. And just to prove my point and what I'm saying and what holds true, perfect example, what people don't understand is good coaching will take you a very long way in this
league.
It's not the talent, folks. It's good coaching. It's plenty of talented teams. You don't fucking believe me? If you don't believe me, look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Okay. The whole talent on that roster that they had before Tom Brady got there, they was getting their teeth kicked in regularly, right? Every weekend, getting their asses whooped.
Yeah, they were.
You know what I'm saying? Getting their asses whooped. Okay, well, you don't believe good coaching works? Then take Jameis Winston out. Put Tom Brady in, right? Even with Tom Brady there, they weren't what everybody thought they were, what they were going to be to start out. And then Brady was like, look, st- Stop all these 7-step drop shit. Let me operate out of the pocket. Put me in 3-step drop situations. Let me use my tight end. Let me use my slot receiver. And we're gonna do the plays that I like. We're gonna tweak your coaching a little bit. If you can withstand that. We're gonna tweak your coaching a little bit. And we're gonna do the shit that I like, right? And then boom, Super Bowl. Okay? So talent don't necessarily make you the best team in the NFL. Because again,
Ask the Cowboys.
Ask the Buccaneers prime before example, Tom Brady bro. Came.
Prime example. I mentioned the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Because what you're saying, I'm just going to dovetail it. What you're saying is exactly true. Coaching matters. You look at the Cowboys, they got all that talent down there. There's no denying that they got, mm-hmm. they're loaded with talent, right? On both sides of the ball. 17 penalties in they open in preseason game.
Good
17.
God.
17, bro. The Bears had their first penalty yesterday.
They first.
In two games.
And that's huge.
That's coaching.
And discipline.
They're clean. They're cleaning things up. That's what this team is doing. See, these are the things that I want people to look at. People always ask me. They ask me over and over in spaces. They ask me on Twitter. I get it all the time. What do you think the Bears' record is going to be? What do you judge their success being? Look at that. Look at them cleaning up the game, not having foolish penalties, not being out there and making mistakes. Those are the things that I look at and I see, hey, that's progress. That's what progress is on this mm-hmm. game. You know what I mean? So people need to pay attention to the game, not so much what the win-loss record is and everything like that.
Yeah, that's just as a result. It was a play, man, and it's not something. No one mentioned it. No one – it's not a highlight, but it stuck out in my mind because I remember Eberflus talking about this, and this dude came with him from Indianapolis. Is Al-Kadeem Hummet. It was – I think it was a wheel route, and it was like a miscommunication with the linebackers, and the linebacker – running back caught it, and he was gone. He was gone upfield, running. Al-Kadeem Hummet, number 55, if you guys watch this game, was huffing.
I know what play that was. Kyler Gordon. He missed that damn tackle.
Yeah, he missed. Yeah.
He missed the tackle on the running back. And the running back took off and was off to the races. And Wilkerson walked him down and pushed him out of bounds.
Yeah. And you know what they got out that series? Did they even score? Did they get 3 points?
They didn't even get three.
See, and that's what I'm talking about. It's that right there. That effort, any other team, an undisciplined team that doesn't play hard, they let them score.
Yeah.
Their defensive line is not 50 yards down the field pushing them out of bounds.
Yeah.
That's the difference. That can be a difference in games, man.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
You're going to be playing a lot of teams that don't have that discipline, that aren't going to play hard. They're just going to come out there and just willy-nilly. They're going to make penalties, you know? And man, that to me – that matters, dude. And I don't understand how you claim, some people claim to be fans of football, students of football, and don't see that stuff and don't get excited. Don't say, that right there, baby. That right there.
That's what it is.
Because they're really not fans, right? They're really not fans. And like me and Dan had this talk earlier. They really not fans. You know, those who like to rah-rah shish goomba for their guy only, not the team. If we trade Roquan, it's over. I don't know how we ever gonna replace him. Shut the fuck up.
I literally had somebody tell me that. You know,
seriously.
If Poles trades Roquan or we don't get him signed, Poles can get up out of town too. He can ride out with him because I'm done with Poles at that point.
Well, good thing your ass ain't the owner.
Exactly.
You don't own your own goddamn house. You over here talking about
it. Yeah. And it's the crazy thing. Like I told everybody last year, you know, that was putting their pom-poms on and for A-Rob. So? So? There'll be a new 1,000-yard receiver.
No, it won't. We are
Darnell Mooney.
Oh, Mooney. Oh, my God. He's the best thing since sliced bread. Oh, my God. Mooney, I love you. Oh, my God.
Shut the fuck up. Shut up. Because it's ridiculous, man. You think, listen, I want y'all to understand something, okay? They are only stars because they were given the opportunity to display their talent. You think That's everybody it. In the NFL is a fucking scrub? It's few. Don't get me wrong. It's few, right? Few. It's some that slip through the cracks because of connections and shit like that. You know, like my man who played guard for us last year from Old Dominion and shit. Him, right?
Oh, yeah.
Not knowing what's going on. I mean, you know, sometimes people slip through the cracks. You know what I'm saying?
From Old Dominion.
Hey, they put him back at defensive tackle.
Yeah.
I saw he wow. Somebody was smart enough to put take him off the whole line.
Hey.
Put him back. That was the dumbest shit. They took a defensive tackle
that was
from a
Nagy,
D3
man.
School.
That was Nagy. That's why he's jobless, right? But, you know, Coward. Coward. And then his name was Coward at that. But, you know, but let me tell you something. Everybody that's in the NFL was an All-American somewhere, was an All-Stater somewhere, was an All-Conference somewhere, okay? Just because you grew up the last, not even grew up, the last 3 years you've been hearing their name ring on TV in the college ranks, that's only because they were given opportunity, all right? Yeah. They were given opportunity, and they made the most of their opportunity, so they got drafted, right? There's undrafted guys. That's why there's undrafted guys who is not expected to make a roster, and then they make a roster, and guess what? They become stars, Bart Scott. What's my man from number 92 from the Pittsburgh Steelers, undrafted?
James Harrison.
Yeah, James Harrison.
Dude, Adams was considered a bust before he.
Yeah.
He figured it out.
Yeah.
Devontae Adams.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, he was a second round pick, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Out of Fresno State, second
Devontae
or third
Parker
round pick.
Was considered a bust too.
Yeah,
he was.
From Miami.
Yep.
So I want you to understand something. Until. No one's sorry in the NFL, folks, regardless of what you want to believe, all right? Because you can get your ass out there and be better than them.
Nope.
You couldn't.
And yo, this ain't even, you know, don't come at us with, you know, come to us with, what did y'all say about Anthony Miller? No, Anthony Miller had talent, but he was dumb. He was
exactly.
Dumb. And that's
dumb
what
as
held
fuck.
Him back.
And he
that's
couldn't tie my back. Fucking jock. When I played, so he couldn't wear my fucking jock strap when I played.
So don't come at us trying to talk about we know hypocrites, because that ain't even how I get down.
And I got
he was dumb. He made his mistakes, and that's why he didn't pan out.
Yeah, he was a good player. He had talent, like you look at his tape. But he even admitted, like I remember the first year, like he wasn't even studying his playbook.
Stupid.
Like hard work beat talent when talent won't work.
Exactly.
That's it. 100%. But yeah, all these guys in the NFL are complete. I mean, I go look at their high school. I mean, go look at their college tape. I tell people I was like, hey, Tajay Sharpe can play. Yeah. He ain't a superstar, but he got highlights all over the internet. Go look at his UMass. He played at UMass. He was a beast. Look at EQ in Notre Dame. He was a beast. Nice. These dudes can play.
Flat
they
out.
May not get 150 targets.
And
they may
because,
not deserve 150 targets.
And that's because their opportunity is very limited in the at this level. They don't have many opportunities because there's guys in front of them. But now, given the opportunity, now it's them. So now they have the opportunity. They're getting the opportunity, and you can see them play now. Now, oh, damn, they're not as bad as I thought. No shit. Because they know they can make a name for themselves here in Chicago. They know that they can create, you know, a nice living for themselves here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I told you, money is the ultimate motivator, folks. And guess who has a lot of it next season? So they know if they ball out, they get paid. They're gonna get paid. Money is the ultimate motivator. It's the reason why everyone that's listening to this podcast right now gets up and go to work, because money is the ultimate motivator. I don't want to hear that. No, I'm really doing what I love. Shut the fuck up, because love don't pay the bills.
Fact.
And that's real. Okay. Money is what make you move. Money will make anybody move. That's the honest to God truth. So now they know that, damn, the Bears got 104. What is it? I think they showed it yesterday on ESPN. The Bears got $136 million, the most in the NFL
mm-hmm.
with the cap. And you mean to tell me that if I put up, you know, damn, Mooney put up 13, 14, 1500, I put up 1200, shit. Not only had I solidified me a starting spot, but I know I'm getting paid. I ain't going nowhere. And Poe's going to see that I get paid. Let's be real. Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, this is a rebuild, people. You know, stop saying it's not that and whatever you want to call it, a restock or retool. Look, if you're retooling, that's a problem because all you're doing is putting Band-Aids on open wounds.
Mm-hmm.
And all that's going to do, all that's going to do is blow up into something bigger, an infection, whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean? Or another wound is going to open somewhere else. Right.
Facts.
And you just putting Band-Aids year after year after year. Let's patch this hole. Let's do this. Let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
No, you build it from the inside out. This is a rebuild. And when you're in a rebuild, guys get the opportunity now to try to make a name for themselves. And once they are able to do that, now you got more household names. Watch how many people become good players in this system.
Mm-hmm.
Defensively and offensively. And it's just a matter of time, man. People just got to wait, kind of be patient about it, and not have these knee-jerk reactions to what the Bears are doing or what Poles is doing or, you know, all of that type of stuff. Don't have these knee-jerk reactions, man. It's real lame. It's old, too.
It's real old. Go ahead.
One thing I wanted to say, and this is directed at our fan base. Listen to me. Let me drop this a little bit. I want y'all to focus in on what I'm saying here because I want y'all to understand that I'm tired of this shit with our fan base. All right. Not only the shade that y'all throw towards Ryan Poles, but the constant tweets and DMs that I get about Justin Fields. I don't know. He's looking like a one read guy. He's looking like he doesn't have it. I don't know if he's the right guy for us. Yada, yada, yada. Listen to what I'm saying here, right? Just follow me real quick because I want y'all to understand something, right? You, for one, you're not going to get any quarterback going through his progressions in fucking preseason. Everything is vanilla, okay? He'll probably go 1-2 and then, okay, whatever. That's where I'm going with the ball. But you're not going to get the full fucking blueprint in preseason. It's not going to happen. Everything is vanilla, all right? They're not even running plays in preseason that they're going to be running when the season starts.
Mm-hmm.
So I want y'all to understand that. But one thing I will not tolerate, and Bulls fans, you know this all too well, okay? Don't fuck up a good thing. Don't kill your own, all right? Bulls fans know this all too well, how they turned on Derrick Rose.
Mm-hmm.
And now you motherfuckers are wallowing in your misery and your own piss, and you deserve it. And ain't been shit and ain't been relevant since Rose left.
Since he got hurt. This year. We were relevant this year.
But again, what I'm saying is
No one's
taking the Bulls serious to win a championship since they alienated Derrick Rose. Oh, he need to be playing. He ain't hurt. He ain't this. He ain't that. You fucking ruined him. All right? Let Justin develop. Get off his dick, all right? I'm really serious when I say this. Get off his dick, let him develop, all right? Because you got to understand, he had a fucked up coach last year. He had a sugar cookie getter as his head coach, all right? Last season, a guy who didn't know shit. This is the same individual who thought it was okay to put a defensive tackle at fucking guard and start
and
him.
Start him.
And start him. That doesn't alarm you? That doesn't alarm you. Because, again, if he was so smart, where is this coward guy? Where is he?
Defensive tackle for somebody on somebody's practice squad. Exactly. He ain't even on offensive line anymore.
And he had him, you don't understand me, he had him starting
versus the Rams, bro.
Starting.
Aaron Donald, bro.
Starting. Imagine that. Imagine, okay, if you still don't understand this, imagine me putting you in an airplane. And I say, you know what? We're going to go and we're going to go skydiving. And then when we get up in the sky, I do some Wile E. Coyote shit and hand you a motherfucking backpack with a cinder block in it and kick you out the fucking plane and tell you, all right, make do.
Good luck.
That's what he did to Justin Fields last year. So cut the shit, okay? He sabotaged them against the fucking Browns. Then played the will he, won't he start. That's bullshit. So understand when I tell you that, look, get off my man's back, okay? Let him do his thing. I don't want to hear that. You either going to be down with the Bears or you can get the fuck on. Like Pac said, you either ride with us or collide with us. If you ain't screaming, West Side, you can get the fuck on. If you ain't rolling with the Chicago Bears, get the fuck on. I'm not talking about a player because players come and go. You ride with the C. I've been with them when they was nasty for tumultuous seasons. I've seen two NFC championships, three. I've seen them get to three NFC championships. I've seen them win a Super Bowl. I've seen them lose a Super Bowl. I've seen them win multiple NFC North titles. And I've seen them win multiple NFC Central titles. Roll with the squad. Fuck the players. But you support your quarterback. If you gave Mitch Trubisky 4 years, why the fuck do you feel that Justin Fields only needs one before you make your determination? And it's still some of you crazy, psycho, mentally ill motherfuckers out there that's still supporting Mitch Trubisky, thinking that he's a hell of a quarterback. And, oh, he's going to show him this year. This year, six. You got to be fucking kidding me.
Yeah, is he?
You got to be fucking kidding me.
13, year six. Franchise quarterbacks don't hit three different fucking teams, bro.
Thank you.
The good ones only hit two teams.
That's true.
They don't hit three teams, bro.
But Justin can't get more than 1 year? What's your real issue? What's your real issue?
Well, see, that's what I'm getting at, man. That's exactly what I'm getting at with the whole barrage of hate that's directed not only at Justin Fields but at the regime. You know, you're placing blame on these guys before they've even really got started on their jobs. You know what I mean? So chill with that, man. Chill with that.
And the thing about it is, both of y'all, is that the little sample size we gotten hasn't fucking been bad.
At all.
I mean, it's the preseason. Nobody win games in the preseason, but dude,
what?
Bro,
we 2-0.
Bro, they had a period. I think for the last six periods, they didn't even allow a touchdown.
Right.
Justin Fields only has like three incompletions, and like two of the motherfuckers are drops. Like, they're picking the most asinine shit to nitpick. Like, people were literally like arguing with me, and I'm not trying to disrespect individual people, bro, but there was a play where he rolled to the left and he took a shot to Mooney in the end zone. And I said, hey, dude, I don't mind. It's second and four. You could be being aggressive. I don't care.
And it's the preseason game.
Sling that bitch. We didn't score enough touchdowns. Sling that bitch. Stop being. Nobody wins championships being checked down Charlie. You do not win championships being checked down Charlie. You won't fucking Cal Lordy. Buy a time machine. Transport your ass back to 2005. We're trying to win a championship. Right? And this dumbass motherfucker, Warren Sharp, for whoever he writes for, I had to tear his ass up. He posted a clip trying to show Justin Fields is all limited pressure. The first fucking play was a fucking screen. It was a tight end screen.
Yeah.
That's the second, that's... the second ahead, fucking play, I forgot what it was. I think Khalil Herbert didn't pick up the blitz. So he squared up for the blitz and got his ass smoked by the linebacker.
Right.
And Justin Fields just rolled out through a little quick run out.
Right.
That's not even on the line. That's on the fucking running back for not picking up the blitz. And then one actually was probably Justin's fault. He kind of like rushed out of the park. He stepped on Jones' foot and fell down. Okay, I think he should have held in the pocket a little bit longer. Another one, Tevin Jenkins actually gave up pressure but stayed with his man, and Justin was allowed to escape. So it wasn't even that bad of a play. It's not like Tevin Jenkins got it. And this is his first start at right guard, bro. Like, do your fucking research. And the second was a rollout to the left. Right. Like, bro, do y'all know what the fuck y'all are looking at?
And you know, that clip that you're talking about right there, that same exact clip Colin Cowherd was using, right? He's using that on his show as a montage of Justin Fields running for his life because Holes hasn't addressed the offensive line.
Oh my God, please take some fish oils, people, you and get your fucking intelligence up. Like, use critical thinking.
That's the stuff we're talking about. When you're watching a football game, watch it. What do your eyes say? Don't worry about what somebody else tells you. You know what I'm saying? These people don't know. When you watch All 22 or you watch film, you study film. Devorey knows this. When you study film, right, there wasn't no commentary.
At all.
There wasn't no commentary.
It's muted.
You don't even hear, you know, ads being hit. You don't hear none of that.
It's muted.
You don't hear pads. It's mm-hmm. muted. So when you're watching that film, all you can do is focus on what's done right and what's done wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying people need to do that at the house, right? That's not how we watch football. But at the same time,
bro, some of y'all need to.
Yeah, a lot of motherfuckers need to. But for real though, I mean, like, they gotta look for what they're, you know, look for what's done right and what's done wrong on the football field. You show that clip and it's him running around. One's on a missed assignment by the running back. One's on, you know what I mean? These are
the screen of bootleg.
But you're talking about, you know, I mean, come on, man.
And but people that eat that clip. Shit. People literally like use this as gospel. And that's the part, dude. And so, like, I don't, like, it's a few things like DeVore said, we can't eat our young. A lot of us believe, including people who play quarterback in the NFL, believe Justin Fields is that dude. Mm-hmm. He's shown you that he is that dude. That rollout to the left, he squared up his body and hit command. Like, I don't think people even understand, like, what is going on when they're watching these. They're just like, oh, yeah, it's like, man, no, motherfucker. That shit is hard. And it was in our spaces that you were running last night, Dan. It was Keith. He was saying how Justin Fields has changed his footwork, changed his throw mechanics, and he's also learning a new offense in one offseason. And he's literally doing it.
Right.
Like, I don't think people even understand what the hell is going on. But the good thing about Justin Fields is that he's mentally strong. He ain't paying attention to none of these mouth-breathing motherfuckers.
And I told him that in spaces too yesterday, didn't I?
Ryan Poles ain't paying attention to you motherfuckers. You can tweet goddamn 3,000 tweets, 2,000 stupid-ass videos, write 20 million stupid-ass articles, and no one don't give a shit. No one gives a shit. You don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. I'm sorry. You don't. And if y'all see you shit, I'm going to call you out. I'm going to point out to you step by step that you don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Shots fired! Shots fired!
Facts.
Fuck.
Nah, straight up, though. Look, y'all done pissed us off. Got us fired up over here.
Bro, we won the fucking game. Dominant. Like,
confidently.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. You got shows. Bro, it was one football game on last night. And this is what I mean by national media. It's one football game on last night. I tweeted about it, too. Show called Undisputed. I like the show, right? And Shannon Sharpe, he speaks his mind. He speaks the truth. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I give him credit for what he do. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Skip be on that BS sometime, and you know that. You know, but one thing I give him credit for is he speaks his mind, and he, you know, it, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But here's my problem with that show today.
They talk about the Cowboys and the Lakers too goddamn much.
They talked about them the whole time, the whole year.
Right? Cowboys and Lakers
several times, not once or twice, but several times. I mean, they talked about a viral video from Trayvon Diggs, where he gave up a touchdown to Keenan Allen in practice.
That's just like 2 weeks old,
bro. You talked about that. But there was a legit football game that went on last night between two NFL teams, and you didn't reference that game one time in that whole show.
Now,
let's be real. If Justin Fields went out there and he jacked up and he played real bad, looked horrible, looked really bad, they would have led the show with that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I mean by this narrative that's put forth. He didn't even mention Velus Jones. You know what I mean?
I saw all those tweets about the Bears offensive line and Justin. Justin Fields didn't even get a sack last night. Zero.
It just goes to show how the national media, one person who is, who has a little clout, he can say the sky is green. Even though everybody know the sky is fucking blue, he can say the sky is green. And the rest of the pundits on ESPN and Fox and NBC and CBS and all of them, right, they will say it's green because they don't do their fucking homework. They don't do the legwork. They don't look and go into seeing what's really going on. They sit here and take things for face value and don't do the due process and put in the diligent work to do investigative journalism. They do none of that. They just sit there and spew the same shit back that the last motherfucker done said. Mm-hmm. And that's the killing part. You know what I'm saying? And that's why they don't be bullshit. That's what it really be about. You know, perfect example, Louis Riddick again. Not just Louis Riddick. Dan Orlovsky. Whatever the fuck.
Chris Sims.
We already know about Chris Sims. He just got a he got an axe to grind, bro. You know what I'm saying? He got an axe to grind. But you know, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. He gotta support his boy and his boy's decision out there in San Fran, but
yeah.
Whatever.
But what y'all think about Tevin Jenkins when y'all get around off that?
Oh, I bet. Jenkins. He was solid. Jenkins was solid. He was solid. He had wins and he was physically moving people out the way.
That's the thing, finishing blocks. You know, when you see that type of stuff, I like to see guys finishing blocks because that means they're gonna finish plays, man, to the end. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. and many times people give up on plays when they go past them or whatever. Finish the block, bro. Finish it off. You know, that establishes dominance over the opponent. And then at the end of the day, the opponent across from you, every time they get knocked down, every time the block is finished, it takes something out of you, bro. I play defense. When you have somebody running the ball down your throat, that's the worst feeling in the world. The second is being physically moved by force. Somebody picking you up and moving you around and creating holes. That takes a lot out of you, bro. So I've had it happen, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I beat people, of course, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, that's demoralizing. So when you finish blocks, it's demoralizing to the opponent. That's why I like to see him doing that. I think he did an excellent job. Another person that really stood out to me yesterday, and he gets slandered on Twitter, slandered everywhere quite often, Cole Kmet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cole Kmet was playing, man, like a beast, bro. He was playing. That's the type of tight end that I like. I like that. What he did yesterday, the two catches he had, the spin move, being hard to bring down to the ground, getting extra yards. I mean, you catch a 4 or 5 yard pass and you go another 8 or 9 yards because of your physicality. That's what I like to see from your tight end. So, yeah, Cole Kmet was balling. He was balling.
Nobody wants to tackle his big ass. Oh, boy.
He has a rocket pack in his ass. Man. Bruh. I watched that damn punt return. I'm like, damn, he has a gear that nobody else can get to.
Yeah.
He has a gear that nobody else can get to, and it's quick twitch. So I'm like,
and he's hard to take down.
Yeah, if 45 would have did his job and blocked his man, that was a touchdown.
Bro. Touchdown, bro.
Yeah, he was pushing him. You saw him? He was like, get your ass.
Hey, block somebody. Yeah. He's standing there. He running. Like, get your goofy ass out the way. Putting your hands up. Like, come on, dog.
He wasn't expecting to be on his ass like that.
Right.
Oh, they, I believe they got something up the up their sleeves with him, and they ain't gonna show you. They got something planned with him. They got something planned with him.
Yeah,
and it, and so people talking about the Bears ain't go have, ain't got weapons, and oh, they ain't got weapons. I want to give a shout out to David Montgomery. That's another brother right there, man, who Bear fans have just been relentless with trying to get his ass out of the city. As soon as they saw Khalil Herbert, like, do a 15-yard run, we get rid of David Montgomery. He's not a good fit. David Montgomery just made the top 100. And now that you see David Montgomery not playing, Ebner's cool. Evans? He's cool. Mm-hmm. Herbert's cool, but they ain't David Montgomery.
At all.
You put David Montgomery around, like Dan said, these big-ass men that move people, and now you got to tackle this guy. What, like Dan, you say, oh, when you come tackle David Montgomery, you better wrap up and you better pop, because if you just do one or the other,
let me tell people these you Bears fans, when we're talking about David Montgomery, let me put it in clear perspective for you. Let me help you understand exactly how important that 98 is. It's 98 out of 100, right? So he's towards the back, 98. But let me tell you how significant that is. David Montgomery only had 849 yards rushing last year. He only averaged 3.8 yards per carry last year. And he had 42 catches. He has 7 rushing touchdowns. Now most people would look at those numbers and say, man, that's not, it's nothing special. I mean, it's okay, I guess, right? Yeah, it's okay, I guess. He was in a terrible offense too, right? We can give him those excuses. But the players are the ones who voted this. His peers voted him in the top 100. So understand, even though his numbers looked that way because of that pathetic offense that we had.
And he was hurt.
He was hurt. But even though that's the case, it ain't always numbers based.
So you nerds out there,
you nerds out there who play fantasy football, and that's the end all be all as to who's the top running back. You know what I mean? Or you nerds out there who pay attention to PFF, right? Or an average yard per carry, things like that. Listen to the players, his peers, the guys who play against him, voted him in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's big, bro.
Big time.
Yeah, if he stays healthy, he's going to put up way better numbers than that, because the year before that, he had 1,000 yards and 500 yards reception. So this man is a walking 1,500 from the line of scrimmage, dude. And he's probably going to run the ball more, because that's what kind of this scheme, they have an emphasis on running the football.
Exactly. But yeah, man. He ain't getting 300 carries like most running backs are getting.
No, he got 250 at most. Yeah, he will this year.
His highest carry was 247.
Yeah, not even 250.
225 last year.
I think Jonathan Taylor had 300.
Yeah. Jonathan Taylor gets his carries. Josh Jacobs gets his carries.
Yeah.
Right?
He going to get his carries this year. He going to get his carries. But yeah.
He going to get extended.
Yep. He's doing the right thing by not being a headache.
Yeah.
He's a good dude. He's a team player. He's out there when he's asked to play, he plays. He plays hard. He's one of the hardest workers on the team. He's always working out, always saying the right thing, always doing the right thing. And he's a weapon.
Yep.
Cole Kmet's a weapon.
Yep.
Darnell Mooney's a weapon. Y'all gonna find out that Velus Jones is gonna be a weapon too. Now you got like 4 guys. You still need more. I'll admit that, but let's not just act like the Bears don't have anybody, because that boy Cole Kmet
is about to put red zone problem.
With a 6'7", 260, bro. Come on, bro.
With a bunch
jumping
of,
out the gym. Yeah.
With a bunch of Mach 3 jets around them.
That's it.
So it is what it is. Sleep on them if you want. You're gonna regret it.
Oh, yeah. And we already see what the defense is doing.
We told y'all that defense going to be top 10. We told you that defense was going to be top 10.
Well, I don't know, Naz. They lost Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks.
I told you.
You see them boys flying around making them tackles, bro. Mm-hmm. They get into the ball. They rally into the ball. You see 3 or 4 guys making tackles every time.
Every time.
Gripping the ball, punching the ball, doing all kinds of stuff.
Look at how many turnovers they forced yesterday. Not to mention, remember the scrum in the scrum where they had the who was that, the receiver I think, or the back? It was like a big pile, and as he was going down, somebody punched the ball out.
And then I think it was at Kyler Gordon. I think Kyler got it.
Yeah, somebody punched the ball out.
Yeah, I think Kyler got one. Brisket didn't even play.
This is going
to
be a dangerous team. We're going to be a team that don't nobody want to play.
No.
No.
Uh-uh. No.
At all.
Even if I think even the type of the game the Bears are going to play, I think even the games they lose, it's not going to be like, oh my God, they got spanked like how we did last year.
Yeah.
You know, we got spanked last year because the coaching staff is too smart.
Yep.
If they know that, like, if they play the Cleveland Browns, like, I'm just saying, if Eberflus is the coach doing the Cleveland Browns, he wouldn't have just let Justin Fields just sit back there and get pummeled. Guess he wouldn't have done that. They just wouldn't do it. And that was even a blowout, right? It's a good, you know, we were pretty much close during that game, but yeah, Matt Nagy,
we was actually leading most of that game.
Yeah. Matt Nagy couldn't help himself. You got a coaching staff that won't do that now, man. So, hey, man, enjoy the ride. I'm going to say this to Bear fans. I know we about to wrap it up, but hey, bro, football is supposed to be fun. Enjoy the game, bro.
Yeah.
Stop. You guys are overthinking this. You guys got, we got a young quarterback who might have superstar potential. We got a GM who's smart, who's a caretaker of our cap space and draft capital, who's going to make the right decision, who drafts pretty damn well, picked up some pretty nice, like, free agent pieces that aren't big names, but, you know, are playing well. Enjoy this, man. Enjoy the ride, bro. Stop overthinking it. Stop trying to make it, like, you got to instantly contend right now. Enjoy the ride. Enjoy the process. Enjoy having a competent football team, because you didn't have one for the last couple of years.
Yeah. Enjoy that. Enjoy the things, and look for those things, man. Like, I've been telling people that all the time. Man, stop worrying about how many wins and losses it's going to be. It's going to be what it's going to be at the end of the day. But notice what you can on the football field. Pay attention to the nuances of the game. Understand where guys are winning, where guys are losing. Try to figure out how guys can get better and what they're going to be used as. And that's what preseason is for. You know what I mean? People want to talk about Justin Fields throwing that deep pass. He should have took a check down. This is what preseason is for. You're supposed to try these things to see if they work. You know, and then you got it on film. You can go back and you can analyze your film and really break it down. That's what the preseason is for. That's what practice is for. Man, let these dudes work, man. Let these coaching staff. Everything has been done right this offseason. Everything has been done right. And Poles has done exactly what he said he was going to do. So until he starts chopping it up and messing it up, man, I'm riding with him, bro.
Yes, sir, Ski.
Yes, sir, Ski.
So I don't even want to talk about Roquan. I don't know.
Fuck him.
Yeah, man.
We talked about him on Spaces.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. We got into it on that. That was good, though, man.
Yeah.
Shout out to everybody that's in them spaces with us, man. I think we had about 270 people on there yesterday just vibing with us for a little bit.
That was dope.
For a preseason game, that's dope, man. I can't wait to see regular season
is going
to
hold, right?
Yeah.
You know it's going to be off the chain, man.
Yeah.
So unless y'all got something else to talk about, I've got what I need to get off my chest.
Yeah, we good, man.
Yeah, we good.
It's going to be a long time before we play another game, but it's going to be Cleveland Browns game. Maybe it'll be a dress rehearsal. Who knows? I don't know. I don't get the new preseason schedule.
Get ready for these cuts that's coming up, too.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Yes, indeed.
And Ryan Poles gave you a glimpse into what he's doing, because he said, hey, this roster is going to look different pretty soon.
Yes, indeed.
So that lets you know that there are going to be people that we possibly pick up through free agency, cut from other teams, and there's going to be a lot of guys on his roster that's not going to be here because they're not working out. And yeah. I want to say one thing too. You and I was talking about it, Will, yesterday when Eberflus, he didn't challenge that play. That was a catch by Coulter.
It was
a catch, but he didn't challenge it. And I was up. I was like, you know, why are you not throwing the flag, bro? We can still have a ball or whatever.
Yeah.
But you know, you pay attention to the game and what's going on. The next series, the Bears had the ball. It was 3rd and 6. They ran a draw and got off the field, punted the ball. There's obviously something he's looking for at the defense, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I mean by paying attention to the nuances of the game. People need to recognize that. This is the preseason. he ain't worried about winning. If there's a position battle that's up, right? If it's a position battle that's going on the defensive side of the ball and the offensive position battle is not that intense, I'm going to give the defensive guys some more opportunities to win that job. And that's what Eberflus was doing yesterday. That's what I felt like he was doing. And you know what I mean? I think that's for the best, man. That's a good thing to see that happening.
Yeah, I agree. And also, you got a new punter, too, who's a placeholder for the kicker, and they probably want to see that whole operation, too, give them as many snaps as they can in live action. So that's the whole thing. But they do that within games, you know, so it is what it is. But, I mean, they still rock the shit out to Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, they blasting them.
They still blasting them, man.
That was fun.
Yeah. My trash tweet of the week was the Warren Sharp thing, and I already went off on him, so... Dan Orlovsky got a whole bunch of trash tweets, so I ain't even...
Yeah, I ain't had no trash tweet. Mine was a trash take from Colin Cowell.
And mine was a trash take from Lewis Riddickhead.
Lewis Riddickhead and Coward Colin Cowell turd.
And right, Warren Cowell shit. Nerd.
And Warren shit. And shout out just to everybody on the spaces that were in there. You know, Dan the Don. You know, Dan be having it on lock, bro. Dan.
Yeah, Dan and Don. Yeah, that's my
Dan
dog,
and Don
man.
Be having the space is on lock, man. He be running it. Running Will it like Brooks. A mafia. Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Will Brooks. Will's all up in there, you know.
Yeah. We had a lot of people in there, man. It was fun.
It was fun stuff.
Had a good time.
Elise Ray the Barbara.
Yeah. Elise Ray the Barbara, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Earl Lovings.
Earl be on it too, man. Who was that?
CB.
Oh, my dude, what's his name? We mentioned him earlier today.
Keith was on this thing. It'd be live up in there, man. So that's all I got, man. Until next time, we're going to see what these cuts do. Bears had scouts at like every game today. So somebody posted that because they had to put the scouts. Bears got scouts at them, like damn near every game. So they not done.
They're not done. Not by a long shot.
Yep. So that's all I got, fellas. Until next week.
We out of here.
Peace.
Peace.
Bear down.